Hi, I'm Peter Keegan.
And I'm Laura Boswell, and over there we have the talented Mr. B on sound.
Welcome to Ask an Artist, the podcast that's designed to help you take the leap and become a working artist, the sort that actually gets to make art and pay the bills at the same time. Laura and I will be here to tackle everything from finances to finding a gallery, self-doubt to social media, the everyday practical stuff that all artists need to know to make a go of their career.
And it's that time again where we let you take control of the podcast by challenging Peter and me with some of your artistic questions. Thank you so much to all of those of you who sent in your questions via our website, and that's askanartistpodcast.com. And today we are going to be discussing collaborating with other artists, should you take work down from social media, and how to deal with someone asking for a refund. So Peter, kick us off with our first question.
Okay, so the first one reads, I want what Laura and Peter have.
Ooh.
So we stop there or shall I carry on?
Yeah, I was going to say, what have we got?
What does this person want? They want to have another artist who understands me and with whom I can bounce ideas off, who can provide feedback and even paint together. There's nobody like that around me. And if there is, they're significantly older. I'm in my early 30s. So how do I find another friend artist, even mentor, who doesn't feel like we're competing against each other? Because art community should be about support, not competition. So that's an interesting one. It's about someone who's looking for a like-minded individual to work with or certainly bounce ideas off.
Yeah, that comes from Patricia, by the way. And it is a really good point, because having good networking and friends in the artistic community is really important, especially when you're starting out.
Mm.
Though I should say that there is a big age gap between Peter and
I. Oh, massive, isn't it?
Yeah. Peter's very youthful and I'm very old.
one's young and gorgeous, the other's is old and haggard. I'll let you figure out who's who.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get lunch today.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was in charge of your lunch, Peter, but I don't think you're going to get any now.
Oh, damn.
But so, no, there are a few years in between us. So
Not too much. But I think it's also important to say that we don't work together, as in we don't produce artwork together.
No, we don't. But we do.
I'm too scared by Laura's meticulous planned process.
Yeah, you see, he's crawling now because he's been so rude about me.
I just throw paint all over the place and it would just get all over your paper and I think I'd drive you mad.
But we do. Actually, interestingly, we've known each other for a long while now. And it's always been from that kind of working relationship point of view, hasn't it? The business side. But it, in sort of looking at the question and how you meet people.
Yes.
I mean, I have made good friends with a couple of printmakers simply because I really admired their work. And I mailed them to say, wow, you know, your work is really lovely. I really like what you do. And I've kind of got into a dialogue with them.
Mm.
But I think that stemmed very much from it being specific. You know, if you're going to approach somebody because you like their work, be really specific about why you like it.
Was age a consideration, or were you approaching?
I didn't even think about that. I just thought, wow, that's amazing printmaking.
Yeah.
I really love how they're doing this and how they're doing that. And I think in terms of people who've emailed me, I get slightly irritated by people who are like, oh, your work is lovely. Now, could you do this, that and the other for me?
Mm.
As opposed to someone who's genuinely wants to make contact because they feel that you've got something in common.
Well, it's like any friendship. It's sort of been its give and take. You know, what are you contributing to this relationship?
Yeah.
It's going to be
sort of both ways.
I think for me, there's sort of two main ways that I meet other artists, you know, friends and colleagues. And I think of all artists as colleagues, really. You know, we just don't all work in the same office. We work sort of remotely. But, you know, the first is obviously in-person experiences, whether it is art fairs, festivals, exhibitions, events, open studios, where, you know, you are naturally collaborating and working, you know, either next to or certainly alongside other artists and makers.
I think we covered that a little bit in our episode on art shows, in that, you know, be the one who's helpful, be the one who makes contact. When I go to shows, I mean, I'm sort of quite naturally shy, but I will always go up to other stall holders, have a chat with them, ask them how they're doing. There's always a way in.
Yeah.
But of course, it's COVID times.
Yes.
So that's kind of the
old way, if you like. And I certainly hope that way will come back.
I'm sure.
But of course, the other way that I interact with people is through either through social media, where I'm actually reaching out to people globally now, because of course that's what's so good. But like, you know, writing emails, writing letters, and sometimes calling people up, if, you know, as pre-arranged, to sort of pick their brains further. And I have approached people, whether they are internationally known and renowned, to someone who isn't, but I just particularly love the way that they're working, and you just want to reach out and sort of, you know, kind of have some sort of kinship, some sort of relatability together.
Also, the other thing about making contact on social media, if you are open about what you do and you have plenty of shots of you working, what your work is, how you're developing it, and you put your... I'm not suggesting you should give away any trade secrets if you want to keep them or anything like that. But if you're very open about who you are, your story, where you're from, things like that, then people will connect with you. And they'll contact you and they'll chat to you. So you need to sort of, it's not like putting out a dating profile, but you kind of need to be open in how you present yourself.
And what you're looking for out of the relationship, essentially, isn't it?
But certainly if people start seeing you as a person rather than just seeing your artwork, you're more likely to get people chatting to you and contacting you.
And I mean, from my point of view, I don't let age be a barrier at all. I have good friends who are younger than me and significantly older than me. You know, people are in their sort of 80s and 90s who I consider friends, who are artists in their own right, who in many ways have so much valuable advice and information and wisdom to share, you know, through friendship. So I think I never let that sort of get in the way at all.
No, you have to. I think for the kind of relationship that Patricia mentions, you need to look at the work that's being produced rather than the person who's producing it. Because if you want an artist, a friend artist, or someone to collaborate with, or a mentor or something like that, then really you're looking at connecting with the work. And it doesn't matter if it's a 17-year-old producing that work or a 93-year-old. It's absolutely irrelevant. It's the work that you like. So that would be my approach.
And even in this difficult period where people can't get together, I have painted with other artists, professional artists and friends, but we've painted via Zoom together. Just we've kind of and some of those I have streamed live for other people to watch, and other times it's just a nice catch up with another friend where actually we don't get much painting done. We're just chatting over coffee and putting the world to rights as well.
But that's and as you say, the world is, if anything, you've got a much broader sort of theatre of connection at the moment, because it will be online, and that means that it doesn't matter where your friend is, really. So, yeah, there are ways to join up with other people.
Well, thank you, Patricia. I hope you go out into the world and find some friends. There's more artists out there than the world than you think, I always find. They're always dwelling in the shadows and the woodwork somewhere. So there'll be someone out there who thinks the same way as you.
Okay, so the next question we have is, how long have you been doing this podcast? And have I earned my biscuit yet?
Hang on, who's that from?
That comes from the talented Mr. B.
Mr. B's writing in, how long have we been doing this podcast? Well, this is quite exciting that today is our first birthday.
Yay!
Cue sound effects. There it is. That's our birthday sound effect done.
Fantastic. So thank you for that timely inquiry.
What a coincidence that Mr. B asked that question. Well done, Mr. B. Yes, maybe we will give him that biscuit. Do you think he's earned it?
Yeah. I mean, I have to say that the way we set this podcast up is usually Peter's the biscuit man and I'm the lunch cooker. So
I didn't bring biscuits today. I should really make sure I'll bring him an extra big biscuit next time. So yes, we've been doing this for a whole year, which is, I mean, we set out to do this. I mean, if you can remember, you know, those 12 months ago, and the 12 months ago was a very different world as well.
Well, we didn't know it was, I mean, obviously we had no idea what was going to happen.
But both you and I, we get approached a lot by other people, artists and budding artists, you know, picking our brains about how we got to where we are and what we're doing and what our aspirations are to go even further. And we kind of thought this is a good way of kind of collating our shared experience and knowledge.
I think originally we thought we might do a course or teaching direct or something like that. And I think 12 months ago, podcasts, they weren't as ubiquitous as they are now. I mean, they were there, but they weren't quite as familiar to everybody then. And it just seemed like a really neat idea for us to do this. Mm. But we had no idea whether it was going to work. I mean, poor Mr. B, he was not a sound man when we started. And he's pulling faces at me now because he's now he's a sound and a hand man gesture now. As well.
No, that's not yeah. something different.
Yeah, so he's he's had to have a really sharp learning curve. So I think Peter and I, in a way, we have the really easy bit because we just chat every week now.
Absolutely, but it's really humbling to have so much lovely feedback from people listening at home. It's so wonderful to hear that someone who's listened to our advice and has written in to say, "I took your advice. And I approached that gallery I've always Fantastic, dreamed about. Yeah. And now they are showing my work and it's on the wall. And based upon all the advice that you shared and some of the people that you've got in. And it's emails like that among many more. You know, thank you so much for writing. And we do love to hear about that.
Oh,
it makes
yeah.
this worthwhile and why we continue wanting to continue, you know, sharing this advice and ideas and strategies. And we know it doesn't fit everybody out there. And we know some people have different points of view. But we're very open in the way that we do what we do. And, you know, from my point of view, the more artists and makers out there, the better, and particularly in this day and age. So thank you, everyone, for writing in, and we still want to hear more from you.
We absolutely do. And I think one of the things that I'm quite proud of, and I think we have the audience a lot to thank for it, is that we were always really clear from the beginning that the kind of advice we were offering was doable and down to earth and not grandiose, and that nothing is too small to mention. You know, it's like remembering to pack the drawing pins when you go to an art show or something like that. You know, we wanted it to be sort of reality, not some glossy high-flying thing. So,
well, Laura, while we go and celebrate with our birthday cake, which we might let Mr. B have a little slice of, and perhaps here's a good point to pause to splash a little birthday colour into the podcast.
So, Peter, are there any colours that have stood out for you this week?
There really has, because I've been painting lots of still lives recently and ready for an online exhibition I'm having. And I've been experimenting using some new oil colours, particularly some new reds. And so I've been introduced to Michael Harding's Quinacridone Rose. Isn't that a beautiful name?
Quinacridone Rose. It's fantastic.
It's an absolutely stunning colour, a beautifully warm red. And when mixed with white, it produces a truly eye-popping, dazzling shade of pink.
Sounds
it really
fantastic.
Is incredible. So it's a modern organic pigment, and the perfect exotic pinks it yields makes it fantastic and perfect for still life painting, for flowers, fruit, or even for portraits. Now, in fact, Michael Harding says of his own colour, "I've always been a great fan of quinacridone colours and use them in my own paintings and use them to add a difference that cannot be achieved through other pigments. It really gives that real burst of colour I so enjoy." Isn't that fantastic?
It is fantastic. So definitely colours to look out for. And if you would like to find out more about the fantastic range of colours offered by Michael Harding's paints and why artists all over the world consider his colours to be the best, simply visit michaelharding.co.uk.
And now we've stuffed our face with birthday cake, let's get back onto our next question from the audience. So what's our next one, Laura?
So our next question is, what do I do about showing my work via social media when it's promised to a gallery? Should I have the exhibition first and then show the images, or should I show them on social media to advertise the gallery exhibition? So chicken and egg question.
This is difficult. And I haven't got as much experience to this because I don't sell massively with galleries. So just to pick up what she's asking. So she has an exhibition plan with a gallery that obviously she's arranged with the gallery. So she's asking, can she publish the, I'm going to say paintings. I'll assume they're paintings.
Yeah.
Is she allowed to show them on social media before they're exhibited in the gallery? Is that what the kind of crux of this question
is? Yeah, I think there are a couple of things to pick up on here with this question. The first is, if the circumstances are that you are having a show with a gallery and you have arranged to do work specifically for that show, so you're not using work from your general creative stock to go in the show, you have created specific works, then you really need to liaise with the gallery to see what they're thinking. And that could be anything from them wanting you to put up teaser pictures on your social media of the work to drive people to the gallery, to Absolutely not, because they want to have an event where there's an unveiling.
Right.
And then you put your pictures on social media.
Because it sounds like that's quite a strong collaboration between artist and gallery.
Yeah, I would say that if it... And that tends to be a solo show or a joint show. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in a group show with lots of other artists, it's less likely that the gallery is going to want you to create something really specific. Mm. So I would say if your picture's coming from your general stock... So it's not being created particularly for the gallery. In my experience, galleries like you to put it on social media.
Yeah, of course.
And it's a good chance. Always say, but you can see this in the flesh at, or it'll be on the wall at, mm-hmm. as the show comes up, to drive people towards the gallery as well.
So it sounds like clear communication with that gallery about what they wish to
absolutely.
Do, kind of taking their lead, sounds like it's the way forward.
There is a little bit of a thing that you should look at, which is selling the work. So the gallery might be a bit antsy that you're going to step in on social media and sell work online rather than through the gallery. And there is, I mean, there's a rule that I always abide by, and it is kind of good practice if you can, that if I have work on show in a gallery and someone approaches me separately and says, oh, I love X picture.
So via email or social media?
Via email or social media. I will always try and establish where they saw that picture.
Right.
And if it is the gallery they saw it at, I will always send them back to the gallery to buy it. And if you get your pricing right so that your pricing is the same wherever they buy, it will be of no cost to the client whether they buy it from the gallery or you. They won't pay more. Either way.
So if you had a work, say you were working collaboratively with a gallery and you created a new body of work for that gallery and they said you can post two or three paintings or pieces to help market it, but the rest could you not, because we want people to come to the gallery. That sounds relatively fair.
Absolutely fair.
So what if a customer comes to you privately and says, I want to buy that painting in that gallery, but I want to buy it privately through you?
No, I would never, ever agree to that.
Right.
It wouldn't be in the client's interest because they wouldn't save any money on it. Some people think that if they approach the artist direct, they will get a discount.
Because they're knocking off their own commission, which they shouldn't
exactly.
do.
Exactly. In practice, that seldom happens because most artists charge the same, you know, professional working artists will charge the same wherever they are. So the other thing about it is that the chances are the gallery will find out about it.
And you don't want to lose a gallery, particularly if you've got a good relationship. You don't want to lose.
Well, it's just not professional and fair. And I think if you listen to our episodes on approaching galleries and our interviews with Nick Bentley about his gallery, you realise that the relationship with a gallery is so much more than just selling your picture. Mm. So, I would always have a dialogue with the gallery. I mean, if you feel the gallery is being completely unreasonable in that they want to have a complete social media blackout on works that aren't specifically for them or stuff like that, then you need to negotiate with them. But you know, generally it's a sort of collaborative approach.
And I'd recommend getting that in writing, you know, not a contract or an agreement,
but
certainly
email
via email that it is written down and both sides know,
that's
you know,
really
what,
good
the,
advice,
what the
yeah.
agreement is between you in regards to what you do and don't show.
Yeah. Good. So, Peter, what's our final question?
So our last question reads, I'm in a bit of an awkward position. Oh, dear. A customer recently bought a painting of mine and happily took it away with them to add to their walls. However, they've got back to me after 5 days saying they've changed their minds and would like to return it and be fully refunded. Mm. Now, I'm not sure what to do. Should I refund them or say I have a no returns policy?
So that's always an awkward one.
It's a very
isn't
awkward
it?
Situation. And I instantly sort of go into sort of, you know, what would a retailer say in receipts and return policies and kind of contract, which of course in most cases none of that really exists if you've sold it privately to somebody.
No.
So this is you've got an instant quandary here, because ultimately you don't want to lose out on the money.
No.
But at the same time, I would say you don't want to lose out on annoying and having a bad relationship with a customer, a particularly big customer that might still exist.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? I mean, our Alf, who sent in this question, he hasn't said whether this painting is a commission or just a, like I would sell a painting of.
And that changes everything if it's a commission, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I'll say if it's in a commission, that's an agreement that you kind of took out from the outset. Would they?
Yes, you would have a contract then, wouldn't they? Yeah. I mean, that's your area of expertise.
Yeah, you negotiate all that in advance.
Yeah.
And the terms of how the painting may look and size and so on, and then a deposit is made. And I would recommend.
Has that ever happened to you with a commission?
It has on a couple of times. Hmm. Yeah, where you know the outcome has been. You know, they've liked it and they've agreed with it and they take the painting away. And then afterwards they come back and say, actually, we've changed our mind. And of course, I say, well, I can't resell a very bespoke commission portrait or landscape or whatever because it's unique to you.
Yeah.
So in that respect, I sort of, sorry, this can't really go any further. But I think that's very different compared to buying a stock, you know, work of art.
Yeah, so something off the wall that you've liked. I mean, what I tend to say to clients, if they are, and this usually arises because they're dithering about choice rather than they're choosing a specific picture, but what I tend to say to people is that they can take the work home and see how they like it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they change their mind, then I will gladly help them to choose something else and substitute it.
Oh, so swap it for another piece that exists.
Yeah, absolutely.
Clever. Very good.
So what I'm trying to do is to make it a pleasurable buying experience and to say, basically, it's not a closed door once you get the work home.
Yeah.
But nor, oh, bring it back and I'll just give you your money back and we'll forget it.
Mm-hmm.
What I tend to do is say, well, if you really can't choose, and this happened just before lockdown, I had a lovely couple and they honestly couldn't make their mind up.
Mm.
And so the print that the wife liked and the husband wasn't sure about, we said, look, just take it away for the weekend and have a think about it and then come back and we can swap it or change it, what have you. And they took it home for the weekend and wife was very much in love with it. And husband thought, oh, well, I'm having one I like too then. So they did come back. But the upshot was that they actually bought two prints.
Yeah.
I gave them a little discount on that. Everybody was really happy. And, you know, they knew that was absolutely
But that
fun.
Just felt so much more relaxed that you kind of told them that. Relaxed. They must have felt so much more calm about that transaction.
Yeah.
Knowing they weren't trapped and they had to make that decision there and then. They could think about it.
But that's like best case scenario. But in Alf's case, you know, it may not have been as clear as that they were dithering. He may have come in and said, oh, I love that picture, and then come back.
I think it's interesting that he said it's only after 5 days. So that's still, I'd say that's relatively fresh.
I think that's fresh.
You know, if it was, you know, five weeks or 3 months, I think that's sort of a bit pushing it. So I think if it's that close, obviously there's something that's not right. And I think of it, if someone approached me saying that, I would much rather them have a work of art on their wall that they love than having a work of art they hate in the attic.
Well, they won't ever enjoy it. Yeah, exactly.
No. And then, you know, the reputation and the word of mouth from that, I think, would be awful. So I'd much rather have that happy customer.
Yeah, I think I would do the graceful thing and say, of course, come back and I will give you a refund. But I think any longer than about a fortnight, I mean, do you think a fortnight's the right sort of time or a month
I
or something?
I think about two, three. Well, what's the sort of normal transaction? If you're at John Lewis, what's sort of the day? Is usually 30 days or so,
yeah,
isn't
it's
it?
About 30 days.
About that. I think any more than that is. People keep coming back every month going, I've changed my mind. I'd like a fresh new artwork to brighten my walls up.
And I have had a couple of stories from friends where, you know, some months later, person's got in touch with basically, oh, you know, I've taken against it, or my daughter doesn't like it and I'd like to return it now. And then I think you just have to say, I'm sorry, it's too late. You bought it.
But I like your idea. I think instead of, you know, saying, okay, if you don't like that picture, come and choose something else, you know, put that credit towards a new piece, or if I haven't painted it yet, you know, come back in a few months' time and then see what else you like. You know, think from a business point of view. Yeah, try and keep it positive. Say that you'll do and offer something for them. It's a little bit, it reminds me of the is that they call it in the trade the puppy dog sale, you know, when people kind of, I've had this where a few people aren't quite sure what to buy. So I said, well, take it, you know, take that one or take that two home with you and have a think about it over the weekend.
And of course they fall in love.
And hopefully you want them to fall in love with it. And they call you and say, actually, you want to keep all of them or both of them and not return them. And of course,
so
then you make
the sale.
So
do the puppy dog thing about, oh, well, it'll have to be destroyed if you don't take it.
No one else wants it. You're the only one going to give it a home. Well, what's our takeaways for today, Laura?
So the takeaway this week is that if you have an arty question you'd like us to answer, simply visit our website or social media page and leave it there, and hopefully we'll feature it on a podcast.
Thank you everyone for listening. Remember, you can catch up with all the stuff we've covered during today's episode and our previous episodes on our show notes at askanartistpodcast.com. And remember, subscribing to the show and leaving us a lovely 5-star review is a huge help and keeps us helping you.